Hello. I guess I can say good morning because we're live on Sunday morning. If you are tuning in and can let me know that you're there, this is new. It's a different thing we're trying, so feedback is welcome. Oh, I can see you guys. All right, good, good. Glad you're finding your way here. See, my goal as a pastor is to help you become disciples who can make disciples. I think of a time like this where the church is kind of scattered all over, and I think we should be a people who are okay with that. We should be disciples who, even if we're stranded on an island with people from a plane who, like, we don't know, there's no church there, that we should have the ability to know how to talk to those people in a way that helps them become disciples. And even if we're separated from the church, we can be the church. And at the same time, the church, when we go to Jesus and the apostles talking about it, use this word ecclesia that we translate church, and it literally means assembly. So that makes me think of when I was a kid and I was buying toys. I was a huge G.I. Joe fan. I would watch a show, I would get the action figures, I would get the play sets, I would get the vehicles. Anybody else, like, well, if you are able to make a comment, favorite toys, anyone? I see a heart. I don't know if that was for G.I. Joe or for what. Yeah, thumbs up for Go Joe. So I'd get these toys, and today, and when my kids were growing up, toys all came in these blister packs that where you could see the toy that was inside, and you could see exactly what you were getting. A blister pack is just clear plastic, so you see what you were getting. But when I was a kid, you get a cardboard box, and on it had a picture of the toy that you were getting, and it would be in some kind of like action pose. It'd be an actual photograph of it, of what it's supposed to look like. And then there was a sign on there that would say, "Some assembly required." And Barry's saying there's a bin of G.I. Joe's. Oh no, I wish I had had that because my mom gave them all away. Well, she didn't. Somebody else needed them anyway. So I don't have any of them to share with you today. But it would say some assembly required because I'd open that cardboard box and inside was just a bunch of plastic pieces and I had to make my own toys. But there was something cool about the ownership of that and the idea of my toy that I put together, that I assemble, when these pieces come together, they will form the action-packed vehicle that I see pictured on this box. It's going to be amazing when I assemble it. There is some assembly required. So Jesus gives a vision for a church that the gates of hell will not be able to withstand, a church that assembles and that threatens the devil himself, a church that assembles and brings the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, here on earth, where God's will is being done on earth as it is in heaven. Earth starts to look more like heaven. And some assembly is required. Like, that's part of the idea, is that we have to, in some sense, get together. So we're trying that today in this live format, where even though we're not getting together physically, at least in some sense, we're gathering around God's word at the same time. So I'm glad to be assembling with you, even if it's kind of a virtual assembly. And when God's people assemble, we assemble to encourage each other. so that we can go out and be Christ in our world today. Let me pray, and let's, where you are, let's pray together. God, in Jesus' name, we pray that, your word would be alive in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit would be saturating us with the fruit of the Spirit, so that as we are filled up, we will overflow to the world around us, and you will be glorified and honored. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so in the prayer, I mentioned being saturated. If you missed that message, please catch up on that, that part of our renovation for saturation, the idea that rather than being a church that sits in a column of resources on Sunday morning, that we think of ourselves like right now, there's a saturating rain that's been going on for the last couple of days. If we think about how the soil is kind of drinking that up, and think about our neighbors all separated, and us bringing the gospel in a way that connects people, that's what we want to move towards. And in order to do that, we need to let ourselves be saturated with God, with the Holy Spirit. So like part of what I'm doing this week and what I've been encouraging people to do is set some patterns. I know it's been wonky trying to figure out how to how to change our way of operating in the chaos, and how to bring some order. One of the ways that I've suggested to do that is open the book of Galatians, a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and it's 6 chapters, so it's a good good 1 chapter a day, and you can even miss a day during a week, and you've got a week of reading. So I get up in the morning and I read a chapter of Galatians with my cup of coffee. This week I want to encourage you to read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. I know that sounds like a lot, but it's only 7 chapters and they're short, and it's a good way to start your day. Start patterns that will help saturate you, that will open your heart and mind to God's word and to God's will. And as we do that, as we've done that in Galatians, we've seen that as we trade our kind of internal instincts for the lead of God's Holy Spirit, he puts the fruit of the Spirit in us. The fruit of the Spirit. It's not multiple fruits, it's a fruit. So when I think of that, I think of like a jewel that has different facets, and from different angles, you can see and appreciate different truths about what's going on there, different cuts. So the fruit of the Spirit, when the fruit of the Spirit is in you, you recognize it by these facets: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There are these 9 facets that Paul talks about. And with your household, something that you might do this week is just start with the first 3 of those 9. Try taking on 3 a week. The first 3, love, joy, peace. And think about those and reflect on that, and think about how is that evident in my heart and in my household today? Love, joy, peace. Work on that if you're at home with kids. Say, what are the first 3 parts of the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. Love. That's where you were going to say it out loud. I'm not sure if you did, but let's just try it again. Love. Okay, all right. So keep working on that. Love, joy, peace. Because right now is such an important time to be focused on what the Holy Spirit brings. And what I want to focus on today is that first part, love. And I want to show and talk about how hope is connected to that, and how fear is driven out. So if we were to take those 9 aspects, but focus in on love, there's so much is said about love. So I mean, in scripture, in the world, let's break it down and let's talk about, like, biologically, God has put love in us. It's a, there are these chemical things that happen in us that, that we call love. And like when you see a cute puppy and you go, oh, it's such a cute puppy. I want to hold it. I want to cuddle it. I just want to go squeeze it. That is an instinct to nurture and to protect something that looks like it needs nurture and protection. Nurturing and protecting is a loving instinct that we have. It is a desire to want to connect, to assemble with other people. Now, love is a little bit different depending on your place in the relationship. So let's think about parents and children. Children don't express love to their parents by nurturing and protecting them. They express love to their parents because of the position of authority that their parents have. They express love by honor and obedience. That's how we express love to God. So we see that love is this feeling that makes us want to connect. And if we're in a position where we can love and protect in the relationship, that's how love expresses itself. But you might see somebody who you really admire and think, oh, wow, they're amazing. I really, I want to honor them. That's an expression of love. So love nurtures, protects, honors, obeys, depending on our position in a relationship, but ultimately it wants to see connection happen. That's what love does. Now there's another emotion at work in us that some of us are very familiar with, and this is maybe feels like a time for it, is fear. Fear is what has been driving people to hoard resources. It's a self-preservation. It's that thing that physiologically happens in us that, that tells us either to fight, to fly, or to freeze. And fear is a lot of what is going on in our world today. And I think about conversations that I've had with good Christian people, disciples of Jesus, who even a couple of weeks ago, as things were changing in our world, as people were saying, we've got to isolate ourselves, we've got to hunker down, we've got to close things, we've got to not be interacting with people. There were people within churches who I heard saying, we cannot let fear stop us from connecting to each other. We cannot let fear keep us from assembling. That would be destructive to the church. And to an extent, I agree with them that we cannot let fear do that. I'm going to suggest to you that we're not gathering, we're not assembling, we're not trying to push the issue, not because we're afraid. At least this is me. I'm not afraid. It's because of love that I want to try to protect my friends and neighbors. See, I have this hope that comes from love. When the Apostle John was writing about the life of Jesus, he included what has become one of the best known summaries of the good news from John 3:16, where he says, God loved the world so much that he gave his son. God loved the world so much that he gave his son so that whoever believes in him, whoever trusts him, instead of trusting their own instincts, trusting their own will, following their own direction, whoever trusts him, whoever believes in him will not perish but will have eternal life. Eternal life. So if I have that hope, eternal life, because I'm not trusting myself for that. It's not about what I'm doing or what I've earned or my own effort. It's about what he has done. He loved me so much that he is willing to nurture me and willing to protect me now and for eternity. If I have eternal life, what do I have to fear here? A sickness would be difficult, painful, inconvenient. Yes, I think I might survive it, but even if I didn't, what then? How is it a terrible, hopeless thing for me to spend eternity with a God who loves me? There is hope in Jesus Christ, and I'm not afraid for myself. Now, at the same time, there are people who would suffer perhaps more than me. There are people who don't have that same hope for eternity. And don't I have some responsibility to not do them harm? I mean, it's one thing for me to say, I'm not afraid. I know God loves me. I know he's got me for eternity. We're in a situation where it's not just about me. If I'm interacting with other people, I'm putting myself at risk myself. It's the next people who I interact with who I'm also putting in danger. It's not just about me. And some of you have been in tune to the news, so you know all about this. You know about flattening the curve and all, but I still hear some people saying, you know, well, this is not such a big deal. What are we so worried about? What I'm concerned about, and this isn't fear driving me, this is love driving me. What I'm concerned about is if we all just decided to go and interact with other people, or we're not taking the right precautions, then a bunch of people become sick quickly, or, you know, at the same time, and our healthcare system gets overwhelmed. We don't have the people, the resources, the space. And then if somebody in your household gets an appendicitis, which normally you'd go to the emergency room and they diagnose it, and having your appendix removed is not that big of a deal. You're in and out. But if we've got an overwhelmed healthcare system, that appendicitis, if we don't have the people and the space and the resources to address that quickly, could become deadly. What about people who have an accident, even in their home, who have a healthcare situation that if our system is overwhelmed, a little thing becomes a big thing, and any of those little things could happen, not just to my household, but to my neighbors who live around me. And sometimes love is about what we do. I'm suggesting to you that in this time in history, love also has to do with what we do not do. So I'm not staying hunkered down because I'm necessarily afraid for myself. I'm staying hunkered down because me sacrificing my conveniences is an act of love for other people. So if you're home and you're kind of thinking through these things and processing these things and thinking, this is not such a big deal, I shouldn't be afraid, I hope that's helpful to you, that we have an opportunity to love well by what we don't do as well as by what we do. Love. There's hope because God loved us so much, he sent his son. So that as we believe in him, we won't perish. Even as our bodies die, we will have eternal life. There's hope in that. The Apostle John, in his letter, 1 John chapter 4, he says, perfect love casts out fear. When you understand how much God loves you, and you love him, I hear that perfect love casts out fear. And in my mind, there's this image like It seems to happen in movies a lot for some reason, where people are actually physically like picked up and thrown out of the front door of a bar, right? And for some reason, the line that's always attached to that is, "And don't come back." So that's kind of how I think of what love does to fear: picks it up and throws it out. It's like a punter that takes fear like a football and drop kicks it. Perfect love casts out fear. So I talk about hunkering down as an important thing to do, and there's been some confusion about, well, then why are we doing the Good Friday blood drive still? Shouldn't we not do that because of everything that's going on, because we're not supposed to be assembling? And I want to take a moment to explain that and make sure that we're all clear on this. People still need blood. Blood cannot be manufactured, and it has a shelf life. It only lasts so long. So as there are emergencies, or as there are sick people who need transfusions, there is a constant need for blood donations. And where do blood donations usually happen? Think about it. Schools, workplaces, municipal centers, they're all closed. We couldn't even do the blood drive in the municipal center where we usually do it because it's closed. So thank God that he has provided us with a building now. We have a building at 3115 Camp Phillips Road, and that's where the blood drive is going to be on April 10th. Why are we still having a blood drive? Because people still need blood, and we're in a position to be able to help with that. And the blood center has specifically contacted us and said, please do not cancel your blood drive. We need blood. Now, we are taking precautions. You have to be scheduled. And there's more time in the afternoon part of this schedule. So if you haven't been scheduled right now, think about on that Friday, April 10th, can I go there, and can I be scheduled in the afternoon? Because we want to space things out so that we never have a large group of people. We're not going to have a line of people. We'll have a system where, for instance, you may stay in your car until it's your turn, and then you can come in, and you won't have to interact with any more people than is absolutely necessary. And the blood center is taking every precaution that they possibly can so that we can be an expression of love to our neighbors by making a sacrifice for them. That's the plan. We acknowledge on Good Friday that Jesus gave his blood to save us. As an expression of love to our neighbor and love to God, we're giving our blood to save others. Now, for me, the first time I gave blood, I was in college, and I had a negative experience. Now, the motivation was pure because if our floor had the most blood donations, we'd get a pizza party. So it was an act of love for pizza. And I had a negative experience with it. So I didn't do it for years after that. And then at a job where I was working in a place where the Bloodmobile would come in, and my best friend at work, he didn't happen to be a Christian at the time, and he said, "Do you want to walk over there together during the blood drive?" And I said, "Well, I don't really do that." And he said, "Don't you think that's something a Christian should do?" Well, that was convicting. And I thought about it, and I thought about what Jesus did for me. He allowed himself to be pierced by thorns, to have his skin shred by whips. He allowed himself to be nailed to a cross. What if I took this time, and even if it was uncomfortable and inconvenient, and it didn't go perfectly well, if I could take those few minutes and remember what he did for me. And out of gratitude to him and out of obedience to his command to love my neighbor, what if I gave blood? If you're someone who is disqualified from giving blood, I'm not talking to you right now. I'm not talking to you right now. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip. If you, have had a tattoo in the last year, or you've traveled to some unsafe places, or you're feeling sick right now, there are a number of things that could have happened in your past that disqualify you from giving blood. Okay, I get that. If you are not donating blood and it's out of fear, I want you to consider focusing on God's perfect love and letting that cast out your fear. Consider donating blood as an expression of love to God and love to others. Now, if you feel convicted about, you don't want to do the blood drive, consider contacting a blood center and doing it in some way at some point. Ben Solheim is pointing out here, blood is one of those essential things that needs to continue even during this time. Now, you might be sitting there and thinking, no, my anxiety, you don't understand. My anxiety is so high. My fear is so high. I can't even imagine contacting my neighbors. I can't, I am stuck. If you're feeling stuck and you can't get out of that, I want to remind you, the fruit of the Spirit is not something you work harder to get. It's not about your effort. It's about what God does in you. And if you want help with that, please go to our website, newdaywi.com, and ask for prayer. And our prayer ministry team will go to God on your behalf and ask for him to intervene. If you have a need, share your need. And if you have means, be generous. If you're sitting there and thinking, well, I don't have a specific prayer request to share, then what can you offer to other people? How can you reach out with a phone call or a text message or something? Now, another way that you can, if you have means, can help out, can contribute. I mean, we're not passing a basket right now, and I don't want to get into a long deal about this. I just want to point out that you can always, if giving financially is an expression of love to God, or if you give to the church so that the church, so that you can give through the church, does that make sense? You can give online at newdaywi.com. You can mail checks into our mailing address at 4404 Rib Mountain Drive, number 239, Wausau, 54401. I think we can probably get that typed up in the notes. What I want to be careful that we do is to not let fear drive us, to not let hopelessness be a part of what is keeping us back. This week, plan to get into God's word, to see and embrace his promises, to let them saturate you, and to see the fruit of the Spirit in your life. What are the first three? Love, joy, peace. If you just focus on those things this week, God, how can I know better your love for me? How can I love you? How can I love my neighbor better? Then you'll be saturating during this time. And we, even though assembling is difficult right now, we don't even need that in order to be poured out to our communities. Some assembly is required for the sake of them going out. We have assembled now. Let's be a people who go out and love well. Go in peace.